All right, lesson number 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. One of those famous chapters of the Bible that have influenced many different things, songs and things of that sort. Ecclesiastes 3 is a good chapter of the Bible. Again, Solomon wrestling with life, trying to make sense of it all. And the lesson number 4 is about a time to every purpose. You know, there is a time. Timing. And the introduction says, if we cooperate with God's timing, life will not be meaningless. So the first blank, if we cooperate with God's timing, in the introduction. That's an important part of life. Learning to cooperate with God's timing. Because we often want to make God cooperate with our timing. And that's reversed. We're supposed to cooperate with God's timing. That's what this chapter really is. That's the point of these verses in chapter 3. That God's in control of the timing of everything. We need to learn to cooperate with God's timing. And then life will not be meaningless. And life will not be as frustrating. Life will not be as upsetting. And then it says, everything will be beautiful in His time, which is one of the verses we'll read. Beautiful in His time, even the most difficult experiences of life. Because life is mixed with the good and the bad. It's a mixture. It's not all good, it's not all bad, it's a mixture of good and bad. Sometimes we think it's all bad, but it's really not. Because there's always something we can be thankful for. Alright? If we're still alive, we can still be thankful that we're still alive. And there's always something good. But there is, yes, there's a lot of bad mixed in too. It's not always all good. You know, a lot of people use that saying, it's all good. We say that. I love to say it. But we know that life isn't always all good. There's some troubles. So timing and difficult are the first two. Now, number one, we're gonna look at three areas. Number one is, what is above man? What is above man? That which is above man is God. God who is in control. That's what's above us. And we need to remember that. Remember the phrase that Solomon uses, under the sun. Well, yeah, under the sun we have all these things, but what about what's above the sun? Well, God who's in control. Under the sun things look crazy. Under the sun things look hopeless. But above the sun, nothing's crazy, nothing's hopeless. God is in control, and God's not up in heaven worrying about anything. God's not up in heaven upset about how things are going to work out. God has it all figured out. And He's going to make it all happen in His timing. So above man is God. So letter A. God has His ways of reminding us of who is really in control of life. That's letter A. God has His ways of reminding us. Certain life experiences are big reminders that we're not in control. And listen, it could be any type of difficulty. Sickness, financial, any type of difficulties remind us, wow, I need to trust in God. Because these are areas that are out of my control. And we realize God's in control. So Roman numeral 1 was, what is above man? Above. And then letter A is reminding. God reminds us. And letter B, being that we're talking about chapter 3 here in time, letter B, time is a very precious resource. Time, letter B. Time is very precious. You know why? Because you can't get it back once it's gone. It's kind of like money in a way. Once you spend it, it's gone. Okay? And that's how letter B, time is very precious. Because once it's gone, you can't go ahead and get it right back. It doesn't wait. That's right. So time is very precious. Let's look at two verses. Ephesians 5:16. Before we start reading in Ecclesiastes, we'll look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. Somebody like to read that for us? Redeeming the time because the days are evil, meaning making use of every moment. And then how about another Colossians 4:5, if somebody would read that for us. Colossians 4:5.
walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time.
There it is, wisdom. And another verse that I'm thinking of is in Psalm 90, teach us to number our days, right? Help us to walk in wisdom, because we don't know the number of our days. So it's not as though we can have the attitude of, well, I got all this time to spare, because after all, I'm going to live to be. We don't know. We have no idea. So time is very precious. And then we go to letter C before we read some verses. Letter C. Timing can be everything. Timing is everything. You may have heard that, and we say that, and it's true. Because something done maybe too quickly will fail. Maybe something done too late will fail. Timing is everything. And that's true in every area of life. You know, sometimes we wait too long to do something. And then you know what we say? It's too late. Right? You waited too long. It's too late now. Or maybe we are impatient and we do something too quickly before we should have. And we make a mess of a situation because we did it too early. Timing is everything. Okay? Yes, sir.
Many, many, many years ago this happened. It's true. I read it in the newspaper. It was on the news tour. It was maybe 15 years ago, but I could recollect.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about timing, this guy went to the airport. He was an architect. He had to be in Argentina because he had all the planes, all these houses that he was supposed to be. He was supposed to be there at a certain time. They were having a big meeting. I'm trying to go fast.
Right.
Anyway, he missed the plane. He got there about 8 minutes too late.
Mm.
He said, the plane is not moving yet. Let me on it. And he's cursing them out, yelling, screaming. The police had to come and handcuff him and bring him out of the airport. Next day, to make a long story short, next day he goes home. He has to call up all these people and, you know, reschedule.
Right.
But in the morning, he picked up the newspaper. And the plane that he was supposed to be on crashed into a mountain in Peru.
Wow.
Everybody was dead.
Good illustration.
And he became saved. He got on his knees and he thanked God that God made him miss that plane. Timing.
Think about 9/11. Those people that got caught in traffic and couldn't make it to work on time. And their lives were spared.
Yeah.
I just met somebody about a week ago who was supposed to be in that building that day. And he wasn't because something came up with his job and they sent him somewhere else. Timing is everything. So that's a very good point. And the same thing is true with decisions we make. We need God's wisdom. Lord, I need to know when is the right time to do such and such. Because if we do things too quickly, we make messes. If we wait too long and don't do it in time, we make messes. We need God's timing. So then we go to verse 1 of Ecclesiastes 3 where it says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Meaning, to every activity, there's a season, a right amount of time, and a time, a moment in time, to every purpose. So, timing is everything. And it goes on in verses 2 through 8, he mentions all these different things. The time to be born and the time to die. You know, those are things you don't have control over. You don't decide when you're going to be born. Right? That's nobody consulted with you about that. These are things that are out of your control. And provided you do things God's way and you live the right way, God's going to determine when you die. Right? A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Right? You have your planting season and your reaping season. You know, you plant tomato plants, whatever, but, you know, I'm no green thumb, that's for sure. My wife plants flowers. I don't know anything about that, but you know, I've been told you got to plant them at a certain time of the year if you want it to grow by a certain time. You know, you can't just decide whenever you're going to plant them as far as maybe tomato plants or whatever it is. You got to plant them at a certain time, okay? And they say also with the reaping. Maybe somebody gets impatient, right, and they pick the tomatoes too soon. They're not going to be good, are they? So you got to pluck them at the right time. Wait till they're ripe. That's often how decisions are, right? Wait till the right time before you make a decision. It might not be right yet, and you might make the decision too quickly. Verse 3, when it says a time to kill and a time to heal, many people believe that idea of the time to kill could be the meaning of diseases. We're not talking about murder here, obviously, because murder is forbidden in the Bible. Okay? And it could also be applied to a time of war. Also, look at the next part of verse 3. A time to break down and a time to build up. You know, certain times it's time to destroy things that need to be destroyed. And other times it's time to build things that need to be built. That's true in your personal life as well. Certain things in your personal life you need to destroy. Say, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. And then other things need to be built up. And it takes longer, doesn't it? You know, it's easy to destroy things, but it takes longer to build things. Verse 4, time to weep. All right, there's times to cry, appropriate times to cry. And a time to laugh. See, the Bible doesn't forbid laughter. We said, as remember last week, I believe it was, we said as long as you're laughing at the right things, and things that are appropriate, it's okay to laugh, it's good. There's a time for weeping, there's a time for laughing. And the Bible tells us to weep with those that weep. You know, somebody comes up to you that's sorrowing, give them a shoulder to cry on. You know, that's not the time to say to somebody, snap out of it, come on. Toughen up. Would you? Yeah, that's not the time to say that. Or, you know, that's the time when somebody comes to you upset, that's the time to lend an ear, lend a shoulder to cry on. And then the Bible says, rejoice with those that rejoice. Somebody comes to you happy, maybe your day's not going so well, but they're happy about something. You should be happy with them. Don't be all like, oh, well, I wish I had something to be happy about. Just don't have that attitude. Be happy with them, right? Rejoice with those that rejoice. And then it says a time to mourn. You know, maybe you mourn the loss of a family member. God understands that. That's mourning time. But then there's also a time to dance in the right kind of way. You know, the Bible, the Old Testament talks about dancing. I know we Baptists, we don't promote dancing. I don't promote dancing because here's why. Because unfortunately today, all the dancing that's done is inappropriate dancing. That's the problem. You know, dancing with the stars is not appropriate Baptist dancing, okay? That's not what we're talking about. But, you know, the Bible says David danced before the Lord. He did it in a worshipful way. He was just happy, jumping around, rejoicing. All right, it's more of a celebration kind of a dance, you know? Kind of like what the Yankees did last year when they won the World Series. They were dancing on the field, right? It's a celebration. That's the kind of dancing it's talking about here. Not the kind of dancing you see on the television or on MTV, all right? Appropriate, we're talking about. Yes, sir?
When I stopped dancing, they were still dancing the minuet.
Okay. Times have changed. We know that. And it's unfortunate what has happened. We know that. But, you know, we're talking about appropriate here. Verse 5, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. Right? If you're planting a garden, you got to get the rocks out.
Amen.
And if you're going to build a wall, you're going to gather rocks. So sometimes you're casting out stones, sometimes you're gathering them. It all depends on what you're doing. There's the appropriate time. Notice verse 5, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. I think certain people need to hear that. You know, a public displays of affection. Some people need to learn appropriateness, if you will. I think that's important. We're going to get to some of that in our handout here. Verse number 6, a time to get. There's times where we get new things. And then how about this one? Some of you can relate. A time to lose. Losing things. Can't find this. Can't find that. Hey, that's all part of the life experience, right? You can't find your keys, can't find your glasses, can't find your wallet, whatever it is, can't find your cell phone. All these things that we lose. That God's in control of that too. A time to keep, a time to cast away. Certain things, there's a time where we keep certain things, but there's also a good time where we should give away some things. You know, don't be a pack rat where you keep everything forever. And sometimes, you know, it's time, a good time to get rid of some things and give it to somebody else that could use it. Verse number 7, a time to rend, which means tear. And many people believe this is in the Old Testament times, when they had times of grief, they would tear their clothes to show grief. So, and then also a time to sew, fix it back up. You know, you get a tear in your clothing, you got to sew it up. And then here's a good one for many, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Some people need to also apply that verse to their lives. Some people just listen to the last part of time to speak. Well, sometimes it's better just to not speak. Sometimes it's better to keep silence, the Bible says. You got to know when to talk, when not to. For example, talking about maybe somebody that's just lost a loved one. That's not the time to go into the hospital room and give a big theological discussion on life after death and what has happened to the departed loved one and how they need to trust in the Lord. You know what? Oftentimes what those people need when they just lost a loved one, they just need you to be quiet, sit there and listen. Don't go in there and try to preach to them and all this and that. That might not be the appropriate time. Now you could pray that maybe if a born-again believer does the funeral service, he'll he will give the gospel out, and you pray for those unstable ones. But, you know, there's a time to speak, and there's a time to just listen and not speak. We need wisdom. All right, we need wisdom when to speak and when not to. How about verse 8? A time to love and a time to hate. Again, this is most likely discussing national issues, because look at the next part. A time of war and a time of peace. You know, there's war time, there's peace time. There's the time of love, and there's also the time of arguing and problems between nations. And it also happens in individual lives. So all of these different things, and that's letter D. Activities are deemed appropriate based on the timing of them. What makes something appropriate? Timing. Timing is what makes things appropriate or not. Might not be the right time to do such an activity. Might not be the right place. Therefore, it could be deemed inappropriate. And you know what? Letter E, there is a time and proper place for each activity. There's a time and a place for certain things, isn't there? And it needs to be kept that way. And that's why when we get to letter F, our culture would do well to learn the meaning of the word appropriate. Our culture would do well to learn the meaning of the word appropriate. Because our culture wants to bring everything out in the open. There's nothing that's kept secret anymore. And that's not appropriate. Okay? Whatever it may be. Things need to be kept in their proper time and their proper place. And our culture would do well. Alright? I mean, you know, nowadays I see, thankfully not in my school that I teach in, because we have school uniforms, and I like school uniforms. But on my way to school, I'll often see kids walking to school in their pajamas. It's not appropriate. I mean, that's just one little thing that I could bring up. I could bring up a bunch of other things. I guess that's one of my pet peeves. Seeing people walk into school wearing pajama pants. And pajama pants are great in your house, when you're home, not out in public at school, okay? And we can go on and on. You know, certain things that we wear, there's an appropriate place maybe for it, but not out in the public arena. The way certain people dress, it's not appropriate, okay? You know, you don't need to be bringing that kind of attire out into the public arena, all right? It's not appropriate. See, it's out of place. It's out of place. And that's what our culture has done. It's taken everything that's supposed to be maybe kept somewhere else and just brought it all right out. And that's what's inappropriate. Okay? Emilio?
You were saying that the chapter just this morning when I was coming here, I was walking in the town of Luba, and there was a guy walking out in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
With a towel around him, walking in the street, and just walking across the
street. Unreal.
This guy was just being comfortable.
I hear you. There's no limits anymore, and it's very sad. And we, you know, we ought to have some laws, decency laws, right? I appreciate what some states have done. They told the guys they can't wear their pants halfway down. And yeah, they'll give tickets, I think, in Virginia if they see these guys walking around with their, you know, their boxer shorts showing them to the whole world. They get a ticket. I think that's great. You know, that's inappropriate. It's unnecessary. Oh, well, that's a whole other arena. We won't even go there. But we know our culture needs to learn appropriateness. And there was a day when we had that. But that's gone out the window. So all these things, verses 2 through 8, there's a time for these things. And it needs to be in the right time and the right place. There's a time for those events. And that's letter G. God brings different events into our lives in His perfect timing. Different events. God will bring events into our life at the right time. Now, we don't always feel like it's the right time. Often our response is, Lord, why now? How many times have we thought that? Lord, why now? Why would you bring this into my life now? And God's up in heaven saying, because now is the time. Now is the time for you. This is when you're going to learn the best from it. This is when it's going to be of best benefit to you. God knows what's best. So God brings the different events. Sometimes we think, oh, Lord, I've had enough. Why another thing? And God says, well, it's the right time. And letter H, through life, there will be times of blessings and trials. Letter H, blessings and trials. If you notice in verses 2 through 8, for every positive thing, there's a negative thing mentioned. For every, if you look at it again, You know, being born and dying. Well, those are opposites. Planting and plucking, opposites. Killing and healing, opposites. Breaking down, they're all opposites. So for every blessing, oftentimes there's also a trial. And that's just the experience of life. God will bring those blessings and trials at different times. And then it says in verse 11, we're going to come back to the other verses in a moment, but verse 11, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. See, when it's God's timing, it's a beautiful. And that word beautiful, actually, one of the definitions is appropriate. He hath made everything appropriate. See, when something's done in the right time and in the right place, it can be something that's beautiful and appropriate. But if it's done in the wrong time and the wrong place, it becomes inappropriate, offensive, and wrong. You see? That's the situation. So it needs to be in God's timing. And that's letter I. We must learn to wait on God's timing.
Amen.
That is, I would say, the key lesson in this passage. We must learn to wait on God's timing. Alright? You've got to wait on God's timing. We get impatient. And the next part, you probably know it, God is never in a hurry. Letter I, the other part. God is never in a hurry. Alright? We get hurried, we get worked up about things. Well, I don't want to wait this long for this. Well, God's timing. You know, if you really want to do it God's way, then you'd be willing to wait for it to happen. Well, I can't wait that long. Well, if you want to do it God's way, you have to. Because then if you don't wait, you make a mess of it. Classic example is Abraham and Sarah. God told Abraham and Sarah, you will have a son. They got tired of waiting. We can't wait any longer, Lord. We've waited long enough. We've waited 20-something years for this promised son. He hasn't come yet, and we're not getting any younger. So they had a child through Hagar, and it was a mess, and it still is today. Ishmael versus Isaac. So you see, we got to wait on God's timing. God's not in a hurry, and He never forgets. Well, maybe God forgot about me. No, that's impossible. God never forgets you. Well, maybe God doesn't remember that I need this, so I better do this myself. No, you better wait on God. If you don't want to get into a mess, you better wait on God. He's going to work it out.
Also, too, if we have a bully,
God gives you peace. That's a good point Brother Sabo made about the Holy Spirit. If you're listening to Him, He's going to give you peace about when. Yeah. And again, talking about timing, the Holy Spirit's going to give you peace. You know, it might be something that looks good, it just might not be the right time. And then you don't have peace about it. And you say, you know what? Yeah, this might be nice, but we just don't have peace about it. It's just not yet. Maybe later. So it's all in God's timing. God's never in a hurry. Those verses listed there are about wait on the Lord, be of good courage, He shall strengthen your heart. So what is above man? Well, God who is sovereign. Number two, what is within man? What is within man? Within, number two. You know what's within man? An eternal soul. A heart with a void that only God can fill. Because we go to verse 11 again. We go to verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Notice this next phrase. Also, He hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. He hath set the world in their heart. That word, the world, means the ages or eternity. What does that mean? Well, first of all, letter A. Man is created in the image of God, with an eternal soul. So letter A, the image of God. We've been created in the image of God, which means we have an eternal soul.
Amen.
We're going to talk about Him in a few moments later on in number three. Animals were not created in the image of God. God created animals, but they are not created in the image of God. You know, monkeys are not made in the image of God. Okay? Humans are made in the image of God. That's what differentiates us from the animal kingdom. Alright? We have an eternal soul. Animals do not. When an animal dies, it's done. That's it. There's no heaven or hell for animals. You know, maybe you think maybe you're thinking about what your animal deserves, whether your animal would deserve heaven or hell based upon their behavior. I don't know, but animals don't go to heaven or hell. There is no eternity for an animal, for a dog or a cat. Okay, so humans have an eternal soul, which means they go one of two places, heaven or hell. And it says, he said, eternity in their hearts. Letter B, inside of every human heart is a void that only a relationship with God can fill.
Amen.
It's a void. Something's missing in every human heart that only a relationship with God can fill.
Amen.
Let's look at these two passages, John 4:14. John 4:14. You know these verses. Once you see them, you'll remember. Let's have somebody read John 4:14. Yes, these verses, that verse spoken to the woman at the well, Jesus talking to that woman who needed salvation, and he basically is talking about satisfying her heart. She had tried a lot of things. You know, Jesus already talked to her about the fact that she had five husbands, and she was working on number six at the time. So she was trying to fill a void in her life, and it wasn't working. Jesus said, you drink of the water of life, and you'll never thirst again. You won't have to go looking around. How about John 6? Somebody read John 6:35. Similar idea.
And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst.
See, there it is again. No more hungering. No more looking around for satisfaction. Because you have that void that is filled only by Christ. So, eternity in their hearts is something that... Why do people go looking for answers? Because God put something in their heart that the only place they can find the answers are in the Lord. Look at letter C. It is only as we come to the Lord that we find the answers to the big questions concerning life. And what are the big questions of life? Really, there are three big questions of life. There's the three big questions of life that every religion tries to answer. All right. Number one is, where did I come from? Where did I come from? You know, and some people, you know, they go searching. And some people, well, maybe I came from the monkeys. Or maybe I came from here. Maybe I came from there. And the Bible tells us where we came from God. Yes. Go ahead. You've heard these before.
Why am I here?
Yeah, why am I here? Good one. And the third? Yeah, you got it. Adela knows these. Good job. Why am I here is the second question. And what's my purpose here? Is it just to live for myself and do what I want to do? That's what some people teach. No, the Bible gives us the right answers, to serve the Lord, to love the Lord with all our heart, right? And where am I going? Yeah. That's good. You know, God, and that's because God puts that in every human heart. Like it says in verse 11 of Ecclesiastes 3, he had set the world in their heart, meaning he has put eternity in their heart where they're going to go looking. You know, why am I here? Where am I going? Where did I come from? And those answers can only be found in the Bible. All right? So then we come to verse 12, and Solomon again repeats, he says, I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God. What is he saying in those two verses, letter D? Life is to be viewed as a gift from God. That's what Solomon means here. He's not promoting a do-what-you-want-to-do lifestyle, because he talks about he needs to do good in verse number 12. And even at the end of the book, he's going to tell us how we need to fear God and keep His commandments. So Solomon's not promoting do-what-you-want-to-do. No, he's saying, though, in letter D, it's a gift from God. Life is a gift. And this next quote, letter E, is a great one. Letter E. If we believingly accept life as a gift and thank God for it, we will have a better attitude toward the burdens that come our way. If we believingly accept life as a gift, right, and we thank God for it, we'll have a better attitude toward the burdens. But listen to the other side of the coin. If we grudgingly accept life as a burden, then we will miss the gifts that come our way. It's all about your mental attitude. If you view life as a gift from God and you say, well, I'm going to enjoy the life that God has given me and serve Him and whatever comes my way, I'll view it as from God and not get angry and upset and bitter, you'll have a better attitude. But if you have the attitude, you know, my life is terrible, this isn't right, and we get upset about everything, you're going to miss all the good things. It's all about the mental attitude. The biblical attitude is, hey, life is a gift, enjoy it in the right way, serving God. Okay, that's the way to enjoy life anyway. You know, the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And another verse I'm thinking of talks about how the blessing of the Lord it maketh rich and He addeth no sorrow to it. When you live in life for the Lord, you can enjoy life in the right way. You know why? There's no guilt attached. He addeth no sorrow to it. But the world, what they think is fun and what they think is great and the things that they do, there's always a snare. There's always a hook. There's always a trap. And there's always guilt. When you live for the Lord, you can enjoy life the right way without guilt and a clear conscience.
Well, we'll do that. So, I think
bring it the snare. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So we need to live in the fear of God where we don't have to be trapped and serving the Lord. So very good points. And then letter F from verse 14. Look at verse 14. He says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. What's the point? Letter F. There are just certain things in life that we must realize cannot be changed. Stop trying to change things that can't be changed. And stop getting upset about things that are out of your control. That's what it means. Stop getting worked up about things that you can't fix. What's the point of that? You can't do anything about it anyway. Why waste your energies getting upset about it? You can't fix it. Let God fix it. There's certain things that God puts in place and He just says you need to just let it be. Alright? So that's number two. Number three, what is ahead of man? Number three, what is ahead? Well, unfortunately, again, the book of Ecclesiastes is talking about life under the sun and difficulties. Unfortunately, in this book, what's ahead of man is death. Solomon, looking at life under the earth, he says, you know, I'm looking ahead and I guess something not so fun is coming my way. But the wonderful thing is, as a believer, we don't have to fear death, right? As a Christian, we don't have to be afraid of it. Look at verse 15. He first says about that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. He's talking about what He's already said in the earlier chapters. There's nothing new under the sun. A lot of repeating. So that's letter A. Current events are often simply a repeating of history. Repeating of history. History repeats itself in many ways, doesn't it? And Solomon said it many, many thousands of years ago. And it's still true today. And one thing Solomon saw, remember when Solomon looks around, he sees things that he doesn't like. When you go to verse number 16, he says, moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment. Meaning like the courtrooms where justice was supposed to be given, right? And you know what he said? He said, I saw that wickedness was there. And that the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. The places that should have been right were not right. Can you relate with that? Letter B. Letter B. It is sad to see corruption in places where integrity is expected. It is sad to see corruption in the courtrooms or in the political arena where we expect integrity, where we expect people to do what's right. What do we often hear about on the news? That those very places where people are supposed to be doing what's right, they're doing what's wrong. And listen, that's nothing new. Don't think that that's new in, you know, 2010 in America. This went on in, you know, in the BC times during Solomon's reign. Solomon said, I looked around and I see corruption. So letter C, injustice is nothing new. Injustice is nothing new. It's been here since the beginning of time. Injustice is nothing new. But then Solomon looks around in verse 17. He says, you know what, though? I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time For there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. What does he mean? Letter D. Nobody will get away with anything with the Lord. See, right now, yeah, there's injustice. Right now, there's corruption in high places. We would be foolish to think otherwise. There's corruption in high places, but you know what? They're not getting away with it with the Lord. Nobody will get away with anything with the Lord. He sees everything.
Amen.
Then verses 18 through 20 are kind of those depressing verses. You know, Solomon going through his up and downs emotionally. Solomon is a little depressed in verses 18 through 20. He says, I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Every one, even one thing befalleth them, as one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they all have one breath, so that a man have no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. There's his depression again. Verse 20, all go into one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to the dust again. Here's what he means, letter E. This is why you don't build whole doctrines on one verse of the Bible. Because here's Solomon saying, men are no better than animals. Why is he saying that, though? You got to keep it in context, because letter E. Men and animals do share one thing in common. And what Solomon's focusing on here is they both die. That's all he's saying here. You know, you can't build a doctrine on this one verse. Hey, we're no better than animals. See, even Solomon. No, no, no. We already established we're created in the image of God. We have an eternal soul. Animals don't. You know, that's why, you know, some people make a big deal out of certain things like, like certain people say, well, you can't eat beef because those poor cows. How could you kill those poor cows and eat the meat? And you know, don't you care? Well, again, you know, first of all, God said it's okay. God blessed the meat after the flood. God blessed the meat and said you can eat the meat now of the animals, and you can't put a cow on the same level of a human. They're not the same. And some people try to equate them. They're not the same. But all Solomon's saying here is they both die. And when you get time later, you can read Psalm 49, though. Yes?
Isn't the same Bible, everything should be as long as we get back?
That's right.
So does it mean if a person's a vegetarian that goes against the
law? No, I'm not going to say that. If a person decides to be a vegetarian on their own, that's their own preference. And there's nothing wrong with being a vegetarian. But what they should not do, especially if they're a Christian, they should not go to you and say, well, you're doing wrong because you're eating meat. That's not the case. Some people choose it just for health reasons, and you know what? If they want to do that, that's fine. But I love beef, and I'm going to eat it, all right? But look at verse 21. Verse 21. Here's where Solomon does say something interesting. He says, who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? See, there is a difference there. Man has an eternal soul, animals do not. So letter F, yet animals do not have an eternal soul as man does. So we got to keep that big difference, letter F. Animals do not have an eternal soul. But then we get in conclusion, verse 22 of chapter 3. There is a time for everything, and Solomon talked all about that. And we need to keep, you know, God, we need to cooperate with God's timing. And in verse 22 he says, wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? In other words, Solomon says, stop getting upset about things you can't change. Stop wrestling with life. Enjoy the gift from God in the right way. And that's letter G. Again, Solomon is reminded that the simple life is the one to be desired. Being content. The simple life. You see, Solomon, every time he struggles with something, he gets back to God. And when he gets back to God, then everything is settled for Solomon. All right, so you can read the conclusion there. We're going to close in prayer. But you know, there is a time for everything, and we need to keep timing important. Timing is everything. You do something too fast, you make a mess. You do something too late, you make a mess. We need God's perfect wisdom to do things in the right time and in the right place. That's what chapter 3 is all about. A time for everything, and he has made everything beautiful in his time. It needs to be God's timing. So let's close in a word of prayer.